Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Before hopping into the episode, I just want to give everyone an opportunity to get a free 7-day back pain plan. All you have to do is buy our Optimal Body Therapy Kit. And right now, if you go to the link down in the show notes, you can get 10% off that with code OPTIMAL10. This therapy kit is something that Jen put together because it's the tools that she and I will use ourselves and with any patient or client that we tend to see. It's also the tools that she uses in a lot of her plans and in a lot of her workouts. So go check that out. It's on Amazon. You can click the link down in the show notes and use code OPTIMAL10 to get 10% off. And then with the kit, you get a little code that gives you that free 7-day back pain plan. Go check it out. In this interview, we talked to Sean Lenihan, who is the founder of The Honest Bison. And I really just love his story about why he decided to go into this industry. Because at The Honest Bison, they believe everyone should have access to food that they can trust. And I think that's the key. They deliver the highest quality 100% grass-fed bison meat, as well as other naturally raised elk and venison to customers directly from their grazing partners in South Dakota, Oregon, Montana, Nebraska, Minnesota, whoop whoop, and Wisconsin. The mission at Honest Bison is to help people eat healthier, contribute to a regenerative food system while sharing more of what bison, elk, and venison can bring to our community and to provide food that you can trust. And really, that's one of the biggest things that Jen and I talk about, the transparency of these companies, eating things that you know where they come from. You can literally see the farmers on their website that this food is coming from. So Jen and I have been enjoying it. We have been sharing out that we are using this to fuel our bodies to do the movement that we do on our pages. So let's see what Sean has to say about why it's so important to have this high quality product. Sean, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. I mean, Jen and I, we talk so much on our platforms about health, specifically about movement and pain, but of course, food and how we fuel our body, our machine is such a huge part of that. And that's a huge part of Jen and my continual journey about how we continue to find food we can trust. And you are doing that on such scale, and we appreciate you being here to chat a little bit about that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. I'll also take this opportunity. Thanks for reaching out and expressing interest, giving us a shot to nourish you and your family, and then to be so generous with sharing what you think about our meats.
Absolutely. And I mean, we just have found that, again, through our journey of trying to find people that we can trust, that it really is difficult to find food and food that is produced well in a way that you can trust. And that is what led us to, you know, kind of reaching out to you at The Honest Bison. And I kind of want to start there. Like, why did you want to dive into this field of high quality food, specifically bison? What got you into the bison business?
I did not arrive here through, I would say, traditional or well-worn paths of somebody who grew up near livestock. I grew up in Central California with one half of the family in oranges, so high-end citrus fruit. But I went to Los Angeles and went to school there and lived in the city for almost 30 years. I didn't have a career in the food business, didn't have connections to restaurants. I wasn't in grocery store marketing or any of those categories. I built a career in marketing, more specifically brand marketing, with an emphasis on experiential or live events or immersive events, with some really high-end brands, none of which were connected to food.
That's
all
so
of them, I was very blessed, were brands that were amazing. I worked with Lexus, Nike, Jordan, Activision, Microsoft, Xbox, Aston Martin, Beats by Dre, some really cool, fun stuff, and did some amazing things and really learned and grew in that career on how the power and the promise of a brand can add to people's lives, right? So that that's what Dr. Dre does with beats, mm-hmm. right? You want to really appreciate the music. Use the technology that brand, right? So there's trust that happens there. Lexus and Toyota do it as well. People trust their products. So when I got to a point in my career to where I had kids, twins, they were very young, and your perspective shifts, and you look at like, well, what are you doing in the world that makes the world better? Mm-hmm. Because now my performance, if you will, my career, the actions, the results, other people that I'm related to and I'm responsible for matter even more. And so that led me to look at like some of the bigger problems in the world. So this is 2008, 2009, 2010. Lots of the conversation in our country was around healthcare, the cost, not just financially to the country, but to our citizens. And so, so the awareness around health and wellness was also growing. If you recall, that's the kind of the beginning of paleo movement. Mm-hmm. Functional fitness. So those movements, through career paths, I discovered some of those things and started to ask the questions, wait, I thought I was eating right and I need to feed my kids right. And oh, wait, I can mess this up. And so what that led me to discover both things the universe was sending me, but also in my own curiosity and desire to be a great dad, do things better, live a healthier life. I discovered that what we think we're eating healthy right now, at least where I was living in the beach cities of Los Angeles, we thought we were eating just fine with whatever organic, buy it at Whole Foods. Like, well, there's more nuance and there's more detail and attention to detail in these bits. Eventually you start digging, ask why enough times, and you're going to discover what is and isn't true, right? Or what's said and what isn't said or marketed. And as a marketer, understanding what isn't said can be a big deal. And so learning about the meat industry, learning about food in general, I saw the massive vacuum of food being such a critical part of our life that there was a lot of trust that was missing. Or trust that shouldn't have been earned, or like they didn't earn the trust. It was blind, or the opaque nature of the food and how it was packaged and sold by the food company prevented the customers from understanding, well, here's really what you're getting. Mm-hmm. Is this really nourishing me? Or are there compromises? Mm-hmm. Or are there risks? And so one of the books that I read along the way was It Starts With Food by Melissa Hartwig, or that was her married name at the time. And so understanding and learning Whole30, trying it, that really opened my eyes, changing the way I worked out. I drank some punch from the CrossFit cult, which was really fun and awesome. and like, whoa, that works too. being a lifelong athlete, I hadn't worked out like that. Oh, okay. So these things started to happen. You start to understand, the nutritional value of what you eat can be significant, but it also can be consequential. And so you start to look at all the things that you can eat that are really good. One of the products that I got to work on professionally was coconut water. Mm. And so learning, oh, coconut water, this is amazing. I didn't really like it. Oh, when I learned how good it was for you, maybe I should like that more. So that was an example that I saw, wait, there's lots of foods out here that we don't know about. So what I wanted to do is I didn't want a commodity. I wanted something that was a lower supply, higher demand, and of the highest quality. And that's how we landed on 100% grass-fed bison. There wasn't really many brands around it, at least trusted ones that I thought could really serve and capture a new audience. This essentially the food movement or the whole food movement. And so we set out to build a brand.
I mean, that's incredible. And I think understanding where it comes from your kids, you know, and being a new father and wanting to do better for them and to continued research and discovery of your own, to being able to provide a high quality product that people can trust. I think that's still a little scary because, like you said, marketing can be really good. So what might we be seeing, you know, from certain levels that labels that could be really deceptive, especially in terms of meat products?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. Organic label on a meat doesn't do much.
Why is that?
I should back up. I'm going to speak to ruminants. So beef, bison. In beef and bison, a better protocol of what the animal ate, how the animal lived, its impact on the land, etc. 100% grass-fed, which we prefer that to grass-fed, grass-finished, only because 100% really does mean 100%, like every single day of its life. So 100% grass-fed is better than organic because you can feed a ruminant organic corn or organic grain or organic anything. And it's not grass and it doesn't work well in their rumen. Doesn't make them healthy. So the organic thing is kind of it's fake. It's also like organic helps when you're trying to avoid GMOs. There's no GMO grass yet. Hopefully never. Right. So we're not spraying herbicides and we're not putting fertilizers. So the 100% grass fed is a better standard than organic. And so look for 100% grass fed. American Grass Fed Association is the standards that I think most people use in the 100% grass fed. People can say 100% grass fed without maybe following all the American grass fed protocols. But if it's 100% grass fed, that's a really good standard to follow. Another label that we're really proud of is the land to market verification set up by the Savory Institute. And this is where scientists, range specialists, soil specialists, soil scientists have measured over time, many times years, the health and fertility of the soil on the pasture where the animals are coming from. And so the land to market verification is scientifically based that the rancher is managing the grazing animals in a way that's promoting and building the fertility as opposed to an extractive, exploitative way of the soil. Whereas, okay, if you overgraze or if you overgraze and then just throw hay in the pasture, well, that's the soil isn't getting more fertile because the roots aren't growing deeper and the blades of grass aren't growing higher. So the environmental impact around large ruminants has been pretty well documented. It's some messed up stuff. The great news that doesn't quite get enough time is that you can use the ruminants, those four legs that aerate and poop and pee and cut the grass down to the right size. All those things promote the fertility of the soil. So we can talk more about the regenerative in a second, but the using the land to market verification, what we believe is that people that know more than us are verifying we're doing what we say we're going to do. Right now, a lot of ranchers and brands are just saying regenerative, and it's the equivalent of greenwashing. Yeah. There's nothing that backs it up. So that's, again, a bummer in the marketing world that happens, but that's why we have third parties to check it. Those are two of the biggest ones. We also have an animal welfare certification, Global Animal Partnership, which was created quite some time ago by Whole Foods. So if you go to Whole Foods and you see GAP level 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, there are two levels of GAP bison standards. There's level 1 and there's level 4. And we're on the level 4. And that's essentially a strict protocol on how the animals are treated their entire lives. So I think we're the only ones that have that designation so far. We hope there's more. So anyway, those are some of the labels. I think it's important for everybody to do a little more homework, kind of use their bullshit meter. I hope I can say that on this podcast. I didn't ask permission, sorry. But right, there are brands that have said things, but then did exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
So those are tragedies. So anyway, that's why we try and be totally transparent. Like here's where we're buying meat from. Here's where who's where we're partnered with. So.
And I think that's the challenge, especially in the food industry, is that, you know, the industries essentially make these words up and there is no standard to which they're held. They say, oh, regenerative. Great. We're regenerative, and start slapping it on packages when there is no third party or certification or anything that is actually standardizing what that means. And so, again, I appreciate you kind of outlining how somebody can look at a package and see, oh, it says regenerative. Is there any more information that backs that up? Is there any more information right here on the package that tells me what this company means when they slap regenerative on their package? And I think you outlined just now where you can do that. And it's kind of the unfortunate thing that we really need to, as consumers, start to do a little more of this research on our own. I mean, part of the marketing of food has been to be able to try and separate us from what it is we're eating and separate us just that little bit more from the processes that this food goes through before it enters our mouth and enters our stomach. So again, the way that you're trying to edge towards this transparency and make it more and more clear that yes, we are doing everything possible and we have, you know, all these different organizations checking us off to make sure that we are doing what we're saying we're doing, I think is so vital. A few things that I want to just clarify and other questions I want to ask into. I mean, you keep referring to ruminants, and I want to understand a little bit more what it actually means to be a ruminant animal. And a couple things about, you know, grass-fed and grass-finished. So you said it's important that 100% grass-fed is better than just grass-finished. Does that mean it's because if they say grass-finished, they could be feeding them other things during their life, not just at the end of the life? Or can you clarify on that? And why is that even important in the first place, that an animal is 100% grass-fed, you know, versus conventional? What does that get you in the end product of the meat?
Yeah, all were great questions there.
That was like three questions thrown at you.
A lot of questions at you right there.
you came out guns a-blazing, like, yeah, okay. All right, here we go. It's all good stuff. So let me try and unpack it. What I'm referring to is basically cows and bison, right? They have multiple stomachs.
Okay.
They're herbivores. So 100% grass-fed beef is really great too. The nutritional profile can be different. Bison is much leaner. There's higher iron content in some minerals like selenium, et cetera, in bison. Cattle have been bred to have more fat. They have intermuscular fat, the marbling that you see in beef, whereas bison don't have intermuscular fat. It's around their organs and their carcass. And that's because they haven't been domesticated, and they need their fat to survive. When I talk about a ruminant, I was using that in the context of the 100% grass-fed because it would apply in parallel to beef and to bison. So hence the choice of my words. Help me out. What was the next important one?
So just grass-finished versus 100% grass-fed.
Yeah. So if you say grass-finished, you're not committing to 100%. So sometimes, and so there are bison that somebody may say it's had grass and it's grass-finished its entire life. They would say grass-finished because they would be implying that it did not go into a feedlot in confinement and be fed grain ration to increase the muscle and the fat, or increase the weight. So if you have something that's grass-finished, it didn't necessarily get the grain rations, the corn, the grain, et cetera. Soy, all that stuff that's super high calorie ration and jacks up the weight pretty fast. Just like if I ate cereal every day and sat in a cubicle for a month, I would not be the waist size that I'm at. So that's what the grass finish supposed to mean. Now, some ranchers would say, okay, I'm going to grass finish, but I'm still going to put it in confinement. Well, that's grass finished. Not really the picture that we all use in marketing, whether we're doing it right or not, right? You put the picture of the pasture.
Right.
So in the American grass-fed standards, you can't confine it for an unreasonable amount of days for the purpose of increasing the weight. When we pay a rancher on by weight, that there's issues. So we'll come back to that. There's other things like when ranchers move animals from pasture to pasture, they can use a high calorie ration like grain or corn, cetera. Sometimes they call it cake. Well, okay, so the animals were fed that. And so when we make a claim, we want to build trust and educate so that the customers can understand, okay, I understand the what the animal ate, I'm essentially eating as well. So was the animal as healthy as possible, right? And if the animals were wild, they would not have eaten a bucket of pre-made grains, corn, soy, etc. So nonetheless, that's where our protocols are absolute in that context of 100% grass-fed. So the you can trust the animal was as healthy as possible, and that we're not playing around with words to kind of mislead.
And how does that make the animal healthier if they're eating 100% grass-fed? Is that because that of what they would eat in nature, or how does that differ in terms of what you're then eating and the meat that you're consuming?
Right. And I'm not a animal nutritionist or human nutritionist, but it's how the animal processes the grass. Just like if we have too much omega 6 versus omega 3 and our ratio is out of balance, we have too many sugary carbs, our stomach isn't totally designed, or our metabolism isn't designed to process that in an ideal way or a healthy way. So that's where, again, the corn and the grain being, and again, this is what I understand, because it's a disproportionate ratio of calories. So I've been in a slaughterhouse where the hanging side of beef and the hanging side of grass-fed bison were right next to each other. And the massive amounts of white fat that's on the grain-fed beef cow, you look at it and go, oh, it's kind of gross. Mm. It doesn't look healthy. If you've ever been to the bodies exhibit, mm-hmm. where you see this, right? That is truly amazing and educational. You can see, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that body wasn't healthy. Mm. That's an obese human, right? So when you see that in a cow, like, yeah, that kind of looks like that. Learning, and on my journey of learning omega-3s, omega-6s, what does the yellow fat mean in that more beta carotene in it? So even though consumers have been trained like, oh, the yellow fat may not be healthy, or is it rancid, or is it, no. It's 100% grass-fed fat and has that deep yellow, or even just slightly yellow. That's a signal that I believe it's the beta carotene. Mm-hmm. So anyway, when you start to understand what healthy looks like inside the animal's body, then it becomes pretty clear, like, yeah, you probably shouldn't eat that.
And does that have to also do with the what you were talking about with weight, where when they charge you per weight, I can assume?
Yeah, right. That. Right. Yeah. So the I don't want to use an absolute like all, but in a lot of agriculture, the farmer, or the rancher gets paid by the pound. Right. Mm-hmm. But what we need to eat, in those of us in the health and wellness space, consumers or practitioners, or in my case, I am a provider of nutritional value per meal instead of price per pound.
Yeah.
So this is one of the things that I believe is it's a massive shift in what we have to do as consumers who want to live better life. On the health and wellness spectrum, even the fitness spectrum, is what are we getting in the nutritional value of what I'm about to eat, my meal? And so understanding that equation and evaluating your food choices that way, instead of somebody going on my website right now, it's like, what's up? That price per pound is a whole lot more than what I see at the local grocery store. Like, right. But the nutritional value per pound is more valuable than the potato chips, mm-hmm. right? Or the protein bar, whatever. So you start to look at the equation in a different lens. And so how does that affect the rancher? Well, okay, if I want to sell to you and you say, this is the nutritional profile that I need, it is worth more to me. Okay, great. Here's the here's a pound of ground bison. But then I turned around and I paid the rancher a price per pound. Did it have anything to do with the nutritional value?
Right.
Not really the way it works right now.
Yeah.
Now, I pay my ranchers a premium because they're 100% grass-fed. They're land to market, they're GAP, right? So they're humane, they're regenerating the soil, and the animal is of exceptional health. So in a way, I've made it to where I'm paying for a nutritional value based upon the raising protocols, raising standards. So that's where it's so easy, but the industry, I still, the calculation is still by the pound.
Yeah.
So if everybody is still getting paid, if all the ranchers, especially the big guys, are getting paid per pound, what's their incentive? Their incentive is to put them in a confinement and to increase their weight significantly in the last 90 days, sometimes a year. So that the economic model isn't quite reset yet. And so that then that like the dominoes start to fall in that, okay, well, why would they put regenerative? Well, because the guy next door put regenerative on his label and he just got 20 cents more. Right? Oh, that guy got put organic on it, even though it doesn't matter. And that guy got more. Right? Even though they still was like, I still am get paid by the pound. So for me, it's the all of us that have business models for education is a critical part of the consumer, of the audience, the people that who are seeking the knowledge. That to me is a big part of it is the nutritional value per meal instead of the price per pound that you're paying.
So how do you even find these farms and these ranchers that are willing to put these practices together? It's going to take more time. It's going to take more care. It's going to take a lot more work. So how do you even find these farms?
The interwebs. I guess it would be fine how you find anything that's of great value, right? So you have friends and family that you trust, or you have authorities, right? You guys are an authority amongst many who are doing great work around movement and the health and wellness. And so when I get educated by your content, social media, websites, et cetera, YouTube, okay, so you have credibility and you build trust. Okay, so I'm going to listen to what you say. So social media has been great in that it's an avenue in which transparency wins or can win because it's harder to fake it. At least in the food, like you can figure it out if you ask around who's using the product, who trusts the product. The third parties are another way that we believe add another layer to it. You can also tell if you're looking at a meat company. I was looking at a bison company in California, and I really wanted to know, from California, I wanted to learn, oh, what are they doing? And they didn't have their names on it. They didn't have an address. They didn't have their faces. That like there wasn't anything around the about part. The about part was like copy and paste of a generic template. Like, this is lame.
Yeah.
Like I kind of want to know, like, who is it?
It makes me think, what are you hiding?
Yeah, right? It's like, just put your face out there. It's like, here's our address. Here's where we do it. We put our ranchers out there on the website for a couple of reasons. One, where's your food come from? But also, hey, we're going to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think it's a combination of things. It does take effort to find it. One thing I will say about that, I know the local movement has, you know, had a halo for a while, maybe not so much now, because I used to live in Los Angeles. Local to Los Angeles isn't necessarily good. There's a lot of feedlots that surround Los Angeles. So I think understanding it's really like how the animal was raised, those standards and protocols versus how close it was. Yes. And now even more so with transportation prices, you do want to get closer to your food. But to me, if it comes from the other side of the world and we don't grow it here and it's the highest quality that my family needs, then global trade's good, right? Our bison come from 777 Bison Ranch in South Dakota. For some people, that's local. For some people, that's not. Either way, it's still a great choice when you look at nutritional value per meal, its regenerative impact on the world, and the ethical standards around animal welfare. So,
yeah.
Hopefully that answers your question.
Shout out to the Midwest too. I mean, that's local to kind of our Minnesota home. And I was looking at all the states and you hit a lot of the Midwest states, but I don't see Minnesota yet. So we got to find you a good...
Elk. Our elk come from Minnesota. Venison come from Minnesota. Yep.
So say,
there's amazing grass in Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Lots of
there's
land.
So much water, right? There. Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting fact. When you graze an animal, at least with bison, I don't know what it is for beef, but in Wisconsin, we can put one animal for 0.9 acres. In South Dakota, we need 24 acres for one animal.
No way.
My goodness.
It's for moisture content. There's just not as much grass in an acre in South Dakota. Droughts have an issue too, right? But you see, it's like, it's just that much more nutrients packed into an acre, yeah. Right?
I guess all those lakes are good for something in Minnesota, huh?
Yep. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So I want to talk a little bit about how there is kind of starting to be this movement of eating head to tail, or eating all of the organs of the animal. And I know that you all, you know, include a lot of organs in your options, and I'm open to taking any suggestions on how to cook organ meat in a way that Jen here will be open That's to right. eating it.
But I need to know the why. Why is it important to eat?
Okay, as opposed to me just saying, hey, Dr. Dom, you need to sneak it.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of that, tell me why.
Like shepherd's pie, right? Spaghetti, right? Like sneak it in there. So
I try that, Sean, and it only creates, it puts me in the doghouse. I'm sleeping next to Kyle.
Oh, yeah, she stops trusting her food or the one who's preparing it. So that's as unintended consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah, understood. So one thing that has been amazing. So we started selling online. We're still very small. Started selling online in 2014. And I believed at the time, because everything I had read, is that, two reasons. One, that eating nose to tail is a healthy thing, right? You should have the roast and the steaks, and you should have bone broth, right? And I knew that the organs were supposed to be good, but I still didn't start eating them in the beginning. So we put everything on the website. Also, probably more important at the time was, hey, I have all these parts and I need to sell them. So please, I hope somebody buys them. So that not everything, not just the filet mignons and the New Yorks and the ribeyes have to be cost so much. So if me as an entrepreneur who's responsible for this entire carcass can sell the entire thing, then we can keep everything reasonable. But later, as I started to do more homework, and quite a few others, as I can tell you what the market is demanding, this is back to the nutritional value per meal, is that the organ meats have a massive amount more nutrients in them than just the muscle fibers of a ribeye, right? Or filet mignon, right? So when you, and I don't have my numbers memorized, but essentially, like bison, because it's so lean, has a really high amount of iron compared to beef. Well, the liver has like 4, 5, 6, 7 times the amount of liver than the muscle meat right next to it. Mm. So if you're optimizing for the nutrients, the irons, the all the minerals that you need, the liver is basically your awesome multivitamin. Mm. Again, I'm not a nutritionist, and I don't know all this stuff by heart. I'm still learning it. Is we know how to supplement with manufactured powders.
Yeah.
But what have we lost by learning how to do that and buying a capsule? Did we lose the what our grandparents, great grandparents already knew of, like, no, we're going to eat this because this is super healthy? I mean, and my grandparents knew the recipes of these organ meats to be able to incorporate. And so we got that stuff. So I'm sure data scientists or people that are tracking this, like Diana Rogers, see that deficiencies in iron in our country, deficiencies in B12, also trend on the reduction in consumption of red meat. Even more so in that the organ meats have kind of vanished from our cultural diet. So it's probably a long way to answer. The why is that the different parts of the animal have significant value for our holistic nutritional equation. So for instance, the marrow in the bones has a tremendous amount of nutritional value. So how do we get that? Well, you can roast the marrow and eat it with a spoon with some butter and garlic, which is delicious, makes everything great. Or you can make bone broth. The heart also has high nutrient levels. It's the densities, the kidney as well. So these different parts can help boost the diversity, make a more resilient gut, and again, move the needle up. We should have a nutritionist on here to help me out. This is me, the consumer, educating myself from experts that know, but also medical professionals that have gone to the experiment to like, okay, carnivore, only animal proteins and fats. What effect does that have on the body? And so as you start to learn all these nutritional values, like, well, I didn't grow up with eating bone marrow or heart fat or liver, but now it's, wait, let's try it. And so for me and for many customers, I can feel the difference in the diet. So for Dr. Jen, I would say, try it in a very good experiment way of, okay, I'm all in. I'm understanding what your body needs and or where it's getting. Like where do you get your animal direct? And I don't know there's two kinds of iron. One iron that comes from red meat and iron that comes from green vegetables. They're molecularly different structure. The red meat iron absorbs easier and helps make red blood cells faster or more efficiently. But of course, we need both. Mm-hmm. So where in your diet do you get the iron?
Yeah, I mean, I have been eating the red meat. I mean, definitely the meat that we've been getting from you guys, the bison and the elk even. Like, I never thought that I would be eating elk, but here I am. We had a ground elk burger.
Elk burgers. They were great. And I don't know if I've ever had a ground elk burger. I've never made one myself, but if you cook it well, you can hardly tell the difference between a beef burger. And I think that's one of people's biggest fears almost, especially when it comes to organ meat. Many people have some sort of scarring experience with liver in their past.
Well, that's where it's like my mom, you know, she's like, no, I had to eat liver growing up and it was the most disgusting thing. I would never make you do it. So it's like, I think because my parents were scarred from having to eat it, like how could we start implementing it in a way that actually tastes good? Do you have recommendations?
So we have a couple different ways. One, a couple products on our website, and these were, it's not any genius on my part. It was the customers said, hey, I don't have a meat grinder. Can you just grind up some of the heart and the liver in the ground, please? Okay. What ratio should we do? And we started out with the 12-2-2. So that represents 12 ounces of the 16 ounces in a pound. 12 of it is muscle meat. 2 ounces come from the heart and 2 ounces come from the liver. And so that's sneak it in there. It's a little sweeter. You can't really taste the liver. Heart's a muscle meat anyway, just more dense in nutrients. So that's a great way to sneak it in. We also have a ratio. We're sold out right now. We'll have more soon. It's 6-6-4, 6 ounces of muscle, 6 ounces of heart, 4 ounces of liver. Now that does have a different consistency and you can taste the difference. So that's another way to blend it in. We sell the heart and the liver and the kidney sliced, which is just easier to package. And but also I've found that it's easier to essentially portion control. So I think we were talking before the podcast, what I ate this morning for breakfast was an egg scramble that had some eggs. It had some diced heart and a whole bunch of vegetables. And so that's all mixed together with some spices and salt and delicious stuff. So I had probably 4 ounces of heart mixed in with my eggs. So that's another way to do it. In the broader spectrum, I don't know if you've found this on your relationship with food. For me, as an athlete that wanted to perform and needed to try harder than some of the better athletes that I was surrounded by, was what do I need to do to get an advantage or make myself better? So if somebody said, this will make you stronger or this will make you healthier, all of a sudden, it tasted better. Mm-hmm. Or it didn't taste bad anymore. That happened with coconut water. First time I tried that, like, nope. This I understand it has all the potassium and electrolytes that I need, but that's really not that great. The more I started to use it, okay, this is nourishing me. I feel better. So getting away from the, this makes my tongue feel good versus this makes my body feel good.
Yeah.
Is a, I think, a paradigm shift. And I think most people, like when you go through the Whole 30 or other elimination type diets, you go through the withdrawal of the sugar and the refined, right? But then you're like, wait, now you go back to it. Like, wait, I don't feel good anymore. Even though it tasted good on my tongue, the biofeedback of, yeah, your gut saying, I'm going to punish you because you just wrecked me, right? Is now, to me, is like, wait, I feel good. One interesting antidote on that, whether it applies to organ meats or people don't want like red meat, is we had a jerky. It's our pet treat. we have a new pet treat on the website, and all it is, it's just dried bison muscle fiber. And my kids saw the prototype on the counter, and they thought it was jerky. Like, hey, Dad, can I try this? Yeah, sure. It's the new jerky. I tried it. Oh my gosh, I love it. There's no salt. There's no sugar. There's no marinade. Anything. If you're a jerky connoisseur, you would say, this is very bland, but you let it sit in your stomach for a little bit. Like, wow, I feel great.
Yeah.
I feel better. I feel satiated. I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
So to me, I think that's where the shift happens. I've noticed that in my own consumption of liver and heart. It makes me feel better. Therefore, then I like it and crave it.
Yeah. I hope that our little pup Dog Kai Fit wasn't listening in on that whole dog treat part.
Okay.
She would love some dried bison.
I'll put that in the next box.
No, that sounds amazing. And I do like how you touched a little bit on the difference between our tongue and our brain enjoying and getting this positive feedback from the highly palatable, salty, fatty, sugary foods versus, you know, maybe the more prolonged effect of eating something like this that really satiates our body and fuels our body down to that cellular level. And I will also, you know, just a testament to what you're saying about the heart. I think it's a darn shame that, you know, more people wouldn't. It sounds kind of weird when you say, yeah, I had 3 or 4 ounces of heart in my scramble this morning. And I really hope that starts to become a regular thing that people say and that it's not such an oddity that you're putting heart in a breakfast scramble just because, yeah, oh, a heart, that sounds weird. But literally the first time that I ate the sliced bison heart, I'm like, wow, you know, if you cook it right, it tastes just like a meat. It tastes just like a steak. And it was so, yeah, I was honestly surprised because I had never cooked or eaten bison heart on my own. But so I can speak to that. But Sean, we could, you know, talk about this stuff for hours and hours. And we really, really appreciate you being on, the work you're doing to be transparent and get this food out to more and more people. Where is the best place for people to find some of this, order it themselves? Where can they look that up?
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to share this with you and your family, but also what I've learned with your listeners. Everything I've seen from you guys, like amazing message and content and truth that you're helping people live healthier lives. Where to find us? We do ship to all 50 states, thehonestbison.com. We have all social media channels as well, the usual suspects. We in California, goodeggs.com, an online grocery store in San Francisco and now in Los Angeles, carries our products as well. If you're on the East Coast, well, actually, White Oak Pastures, also a regenerative farm doing some great work. They carry our bison, elk, and venison as well. The geeky fun stuff we just talked about, the organ meats, all of, you won't find that on the other platforms. You will find it on our website. If we're not in stock, get on the wait list and we will notify you when it's there. But yeah, that's it's not hard to find us in that little Google search box, however.
Amazing. However you like that. Well, I might maybe try it pretty soon. We'll have to experiment a little bit more, and but I'm open. Yep. I am open to trying it. So I think that's an improvement.
That's the first step.
I'm proud of you.
One last thing then, Dr. Jen. Like, is there a food to where you thought, no, I'm not into it, but that it did go through that continuum, like I didn't like it, but now I do like it because, or you learned how to use it to add value to your life?
I mean, I would say avocado. I honestly, I was that Mexican who didn't really like guacamole or avocado very much.
Oh my gosh, you're going to lose your Mexican card.
I know. But now I don't know. I ate it this morning. You know, like I have been putting it in ways that I know it serves my body and it feels really good when I eat it. And so now just beginning to eat it more and more and more, I'm loving it now. So yes, I have had that.
All right. And so there you go. So it can happen. I would encourage you, like, you're already on the right foot, open mind. And then, if you don't like it, you can blame your husband. They didn't cook it right.
Perfect. So, thank you for that.
Hey, I'll take that.
It won't be the thing. It won't be you.
I'm the chef in the kitchen who's trying to push the envelope on other. Like, we're working on mushrooms. We're working on zucchini and tomatoes.
Yeah,
and
those might take a little longer.
Hey, the needle has moved though. The needle has moved, and so next on the list is heart.
good.
Sean,
good.
Thanks awesome. Again. Thanks for being an ally in my battle to get Jen to eat organ meat.
Yes,
and for everything else you're doing, it's always great to
I'm
chat.
In. Let us know when you need more, how we can help. Thank you for sharing this, including us in the podcast. We'll be in touch.
Sounds good.
Always just appreciate people coming on and helping us to understand where our food is coming from and how we're really nourishing our bodies. And if you really want to check out Honest Bison, don't forget to use code OPTIMAL at checkout. And we'll drop the link in the show notes to make it easy for you to check out Honest Bison. But with that code, you actually get a free pound of bison, which is pretty incredible. So go check it out. It's delicious. We have it every single week. And of course, we're going to have more episodes, more podcast guests, more just episodes on pain coming out on the Optimal Body Podcast. So if you haven't yet, don't forget to subscribe. And if you can, just leave us a little rate and review. It just helps to get us seen by so many more people. And we're giving a little giveaway. So especially if you leave a little rate and review, you screenshot that review, send it to Jen at docgenfit.com. You're going to be entered to get access into Jen Health.